Well, good evening, good weekend to you. This is David Vann with Sooner Politics. Welcome to Weekend Report. Let's get right in what's going on for this first weekend of February 2019. We're talking about a national news story tonight, just because I think it's an important topic. The sadistic Governor Northam, Ralph Northam, Governor of Virginia. He really stepped in at this earlier this week. When his testimony became public about how abortions could happen at the time of natural birth. He went even further. He discussed what options we might have even after a baby is born alive. Because in Governor Northam's world, it still doesn't mean that baby gets to live or get any kind of help. He still believes it's up to a mother, not a father, a mother, whether that child lives. This is a sick man. Yes, he has a medical degree. Yes, he's wearing a lab coat to let you know that he knows what he's talking about, and you and I are supposed to succumb to his superior wisdom and knowledge. You know, medical school, a lot of people think that there's actually a course where they teach them how to have a God complex. Now, I know there's a lot of good doctors who do not behave that way. But then there's Governor Ralph Northam. Well, many of us on the right and right to life advocates, really from all ends of the spectrum, really had a problem with that this week. And then something happened that offended the intersectionalist left. That's right, Governor Northam evidently has a past, don't you know? And like most of us who have things that, yeah, probably we wouldn't do today that we did 30, 40 years ago, that applies to Governor Northam. Well, seems like he pulled a few pranks back in his high school and college days. And one of them came to light because they made it into the yearbook. Well, I'm not going to jump onto the bandwagon of saying, oh, because this man wore blackface or because he dressed in a costume that some people find offensive, that because of that, he should somehow no longer have a part in public life. I'm not going to pile on to the latest reason for Governor Northam's expulsion rage. He does disgust me for his barbaric view of human life. His teen antics are not what decent human beings should be most outraged about. No, he should never have been given political power while having such a low regard for innocent human life. His scalpel is deadly. His grease paint is not. He's disgusting on many fronts, but our outrage should focus on his deadly views and his deadly advocacy. And now this, we'll be back with page two. Welcome back for page two of Sooner Politics Weekend Report. We're going to talk about a few things coming up here, including Senator Bullard's constitutional carry. I already like David Bullard. He's replacing Josh Bikin, senator from the area of southeastern Oklahoma, we've often called Little Dixie, because it was a very conservative but yet very Democrat part of the state. Senator Bullard has come out of the gates with an incredible bill for what he tries to make a statement for. It's what Senator Dahm has been trying for years to get passed in Oklahoma, called constitutional carry. Except this time, Senator Bullard is leaving it to vote of the people. Well, you might say that this is great. You might say that this is only appropriate that we leave such a thing that our gutless legislature has been wishy-washy about, not to mention our two-timing, backstabbing and unfaithful former governor, Mary Fallon, has been even worse about. So Senator Blard leaves it to the people of Oklahoma. Now, the language of his state resolution, the resolution, if it is successful, it'll get passed in the Senate and passed in the House. And that means it'll go on the ballot at our next general or whatever our next statewide election is. That'll be up to the governor when it is. But nonetheless, if the resolution passes, it goes on the ballot. And a lot of us think that's great. All my friends who've been advocates of our fundamental right of self-defense, which includes the right to keep and bear arms without jumping through hoops, paying for licenses, having to take unlimited classes, having our privacy ripped from us in the demand of fingerprints and maybe even DNA if the left gets their way. We think it's a fundamental right to keep and bear arms. In fact, our nation's founding documents include the amendments from the people in the Bill of Rights that says that right shall not be even infringed. I don't mean done away with. Language said shall not be infringed. And yet, our government is infringing on it constantly. Here's the problem. Now, I'm going to credit a good friend of mine, Kirk Shelley, who's been a political mastermind for years and has a lot of friends here in Oklahoma. He's worked national presidential politics for a number of years for multiple candidates. Kirk Shelley says, never leave it to a simple majority vote on whether or not you have your constitutional rights. And I think that's important. I think we have to understand we are a constitutional republic, and we were set up in such a way that the minority would retain rights even when they're not the majority. That bullies who have a slim majority don't get to rob the minority. In fact, I think of a joke one time. It goes this way. There were a few chickens out in the barnyard talking about how great it was, life on the farm, how well the farmer took care of them. And a pig comes by, and he was talking to these chickens. And he said, what you talking about? They said, we need to do something special for this farmer. He takes such good care of us, provides for us and everything. And so they decided to leave it open to a vote. And a motion came up, let's prepare bacon and egg breakfast for him tomorrow morning. Let's provide that. And you know what? It passed a majority vote. But it asked something different from the chickens than from the pig. You see, it asked for dedication from the chickens, but it asked for sacrifice from the pig. That is why minority rights are important. And while there is a safety in this, in that we won't necessarily lose any of our rights if this goes to a vote of the people and it does not pass, but it will embolden those who want to strip us of our rights to continue to chip away at them. So I don't know what to think about this. I want to commend him, Senator Blard, for his dedication to Second Amendment rights. But I just wonder if the strategy might not backfire. Think about that. Let me know what you think. And more importantly, get with Senator Blard about it. He'll be at the legislature starting this week. Every week, they're beginning their session now. After this, you'll hear from us with Page 3. Welcome back. This is David Vann with Sooner Politics. You're watching Weekend Report. And now Page 3. The Oklahoma Republican Party, or OKGOP as we know it, the Grand Ole Party, is reloading now. Every couple of years, we have elections. Elections not just for our legislative leaders and sometimes our governor, but this time we even have elections for our party leadership. Both the Democrat and Republican Party do it, and now the Libertarian Party as well. So, what's going to happen with the Republican Party? Not only do we have a new governor, Stitt, but we also are saying goodbye to our essentially two-term state party chair, Pam Pollard, which opens the door for new leadership. This is Governor Stitt, along with a dear friend of mine, David McLean. David McLean is from, well, rural Tulsa County, more so right on the border with Osage County, up in Skiatook. David's a fine man, been a very reliable and loyal, trusted friend to me. And more importantly, he has the confidence of Governor Stitt. Why is that so important? I'll tell you why. Because for the last 4 years, the Oklahoma Republican Party has struggled by an AWOL governor. We would probably be better off as a party if it wasn't a Republican. Because we're having to carry the water for her while she does nothing for her party. In fact, she undermines the values of the party. And so we're glad that it's time for change. I want you to give my friend David McLean a good look. I think he's going to be a good leader. Is he the most experienced political mind? No, he's not a political hack. He's a businessman, owns a construction company, property management company. He's a good father and husband, very active in his local church up there in Skiatook, and has been very active in helping the party and clarifying the party's mission. At times when Pam Pollard wouldn't step up, important times, David McLean has reached out. Not only has he stepped up, but he's called other county party leaders, including Darren Ward, the chairman of Oklahoma County. Last summer, when our own Department of Health was acting very corrupt and denying the will of the people, as we voted for in State Question 788, David McLean stood up. He called for press conferences, and he met with the press, answered the public's questions, came back here to Tulsa. I remember him calling me on the turnpike. He said, I just met with several media, along with Darren Ward. We're condemning what the health department is doing, and now I'm going to got three or four interviews in Tulsa yet today. I like that kind of boldness. No, he doesn't know all the history of the party. No, he hasn't been as involved as some of us, but his heart's in the right place. And I told him when I decided I would support him, I said, you know, I'd rather deal with a guy who admits he doesn't know it all rather than have to deal with a guy who's convinced he does know it all. I hope you can give him a good look. He'll be speaking to several the county party conventions coming up this month. And then, of course, April 6th will be the day that Republicans all over the state will meet in Moore, Oklahoma. I believe it's at First Moore Baptist Church. And we'll finally make a decision moving forward. And I think we can work with the governor. And I think David McLean will help us all work with each other. And that's a good thing. I hope he does for the whole state what he's done in Tulsa County in the last 2 years. We were in pathetic condition here in Tulsa County in the Republican Party 2 years ago, and that's turned around greatly. I'm hoping I have an opportunity to help him a lot, and I hope you will too. And now this for page 4. Welcome back to Sooner Politics Weekend Report. And here it is, folks. This is the week we have all been waiting for. We spent a good year and a half on the governor's race. I would say even longer than that. And we've had a lot of candidates. As I recall, there were something like 17 candidates. I think there was 10 or 12 Republicans. There's a lot. Governor Stitt rose to the top against all odds, didn't have the experience of elective office, but he spoke to Oklahomans in a way that Oklahomans responded. And now it's time to see what we bought. You know, the State of the State address is this week. That's right. Be watching for it. It'll be webcast from the legislature's website. I'm sure Sooner Politics will do what we can to help bring that feed to you live. But at long last, we're going to find out what this man really believes. I know, he's a politician, and politicians make promises. They have handlers. Even when they want to say something, their handlers say, no, don't say that, say this. We're going to find out. Now, some people are a little bit terrified because they heard him say something like, yeah, we'll take a look at expanded Medicaid. Does that mean he supports it? I didn't hear that. I hear a man who, like most business people, doesn't judge a matter before he fully hears it. Now, I'm not supporting it. I know the federal government pays 90%, the state pays 10%. The problem is, we are all citizens of the United States, which is so many trillions of dollars in debt. And I just don't have the heart to stick my kids, my grandkids, my great-grandkids with the debt for an irresponsible generation that I've been a part of. And I hope you will join me in demanding a balanced budget by our federal government. And I can guarantee you, if the federal government was living under a balanced budget, there would be no expanded Medicaid offered to the states. Now, if the state wants to provide that for its people, that's up to a state to do. But I don't want our federal government borrowing more money from China so that we can live high off the hog and make our grandkids and great-grandkids pay it back. This is a Ponzi scheme, and it's immoral. And for that reason, no, I don't support the Medicaid expansion, because it can't be done with a balanced budget, at least not in this political climate. So let's see what happens. We'll definitely be talking next week about this. It's going to be the main topic covering statewide political news and government news at the Capitol. So we'll see what happens on that. Now we're going to take a break, and I'll be back with my closing thoughts on page 5. Welcome back to Sooner Politics Weekend Report. I'm David Vann with page 5. And this is our closing point on our two banana republics. What do you mean by that? I'll tell you what I mean. You see, our Constitution allows for our two legislative bodies, the House of Representatives and the House of the Senate, to set up their own rules by which they do business. And on one level, that seems realistic. They are the ones that have to get work done, and they should be able to set some rules that allow them to work orderly, you would think. But the other night, I had the opportunity to have dinner with some former legislators, in one who's currently serving as a chairman of a House committee. And we talked about the whole process. And folks, I couldn't be more embarrassed and disgusted with our legislative leadership. They get so juvenile. They are so junior high. There are chairmen of committees who will not hear a bill just because of who authored it, and they're mad at them about something. And I'm telling you, folks, that's more the rule than the exception to the rule. Deals are offered. Favors are given. Some of them we know about, some we don't know. Sometimes things are done very immorally. Sometimes favors that sell out the voters of Oklahoma. You see, it's up to each House Senate, House of the Representatives, to elect a leader. But Greg Treat here, the furthest from me, he just got the Senate to change his rules. And if you listen to Senator Dom, he would argue that he doesn't think they actually did it in a constitutional manner. He believes they actually violated the Senate rules, existing Senate rules, in order to make Greg Treat more powerful. The Senate used to vote for many of their leaders and their chairman of their different committees. Now, It's pretty much these two guys pick all the committee chairs. Here's what's wrong with that. The committee chairs are dictators. Yes, I said that. Dictators. They have sole power to decide whether a bill gets heard or not. And the only one who can override that is one of these two men who govern their chambers, the Senate or the House. Many of the worst things that come out of the legislature, or don't even get a hearing in the legislature, are because these two men are dictators of banana republics known as our two legislative bodies. They act very much like a dictator of a banana republic in that they are essentially a one-man rule. They set the law. Now, there have been some good people in the past, and I particularly want to commend T.W. Shannon. About 5 years ago, he was the Speaker of the House, and he enacted some reforms. Some of those reforms allowed the House to bring bills up for a floor vote, even though he really didn't want them. As soon as he left to run for the U.S. Senate, Jeff Hickman became the next Speaker and reversed all those things. Hickman only served 2 years and then he left. And then Charles McCall came next. Now McCall is probably wealthier than everybody else in the legislature combined. He spread his money around and he got a number of people elected, paid off enough money to enough people in campaign contributions that they voted for him. Many of them regret deeply that they did. Charles is not the brightest bulb. He's not. There are some very intelligent people in leadership. There are some very credible people in leadership. Yes, they're politicians. Here's our solution. I'm looking for a state question. I'm looking for an initiative petition, because believe me, a constitutional amendment that would fix these things, or at least rein in some of the ridiculous things, is not going to come from either of these men, or likely from any one of their successors. I'd like to ask our former legislators to begin writing a reasonable state amendment to our Constitution that sets certain perimeters. No, I don't mean that our Constitution is going to tell these two legislative bodies how they operate. We're not going to dictate their rules. That would be ridiculous. But at least we're going to adhere to certain principles. Principles that allow for a bill to at least get a hearing in committee, even when the dictator, known as the chairman, disagrees with it. We've got to have some of these things put in place. So I want to leave that with you. If you've got a legislator that, or former legislator especially, talk it over with them. See what we can do. We've got to make for a better political system in Oklahoma. Now, I'm not just picking on the Republicans in this, because for nearly 100 years, the Democrats had dictatorial powers, and they were as bad and worse. The sad thing for me is, Republicans don't appear to be any better. I'm David Vann. Thank you for watching Sooner Politics Weekend Report. We'll look forward to seeing you next week around the Capitol or on the web. Thanks for being a part of Sooner Politics. Have a good night.